If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. And I realize time is short, so I will try to keep that in mind. But I wanted today, because we're having this farewell for the Hofstra family, I wanted to take a one-week break from the study of Jonah, which I've really been enjoying, and wouldn't take a break from it, except that I hate to pass up great sermon material. And having been associated with Daniel and Julie and their family for the last 8 years, they are a great illustration. And I just had to preach a passage that they've illustrated so well, and that's why I wanted us to look at Philippians chapter 2 together. When I thought about this service, the verse that came to my mind was verse 17 of Philippians chapter 3. Let me just read it to you. Paul writes to the Philippians, "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you." I think I shared this with you, some of you anyway, not too long ago, but probably around 20, 25 years ago, something like that, I was looking through the book of Philippians and was struck by that verse. At that time, I was around 30 years old. I was a solo pastor of a little church in Wisconsin. And I remember reading that and thinking, Paul sets himself up as an example. And he tells the people in Philippi, follow my example. And I remember at 29, 30 years of age thinking, what would happen if everybody in our church had the same spiritual life that I had? It was not a pleasant thought. I mean, I thought, I'm amazed that God has put me in this position to be pastor of a church and then given me the responsibility to be a leader, and then realizing that as a leader, people follow my example. I began to realize that if I were to set the standard as the pastor and the leader for that particular church, that they had a lot of room for growth. Yet, I realized that as much as I don't like that fact, when you're in leadership as a pastor, as an elder, you are a person that people look up to. And sometimes they look up to critically and say, he could be doing a much better job than that. And sometimes they look up to and say, oh, that's the kind of person I want to be like. Well, what has made my task as a pastor here at First Baptist Church such a joy in 11 years that I've been here is that God has given this church godly leadership. All 11 years that I've been here, we've had great elders. And that makes my job as pastor so much easier, because I realize that as I try to be the person God wants me to be, that there's several other men who are godly examples. And they make me a better person because of my relationship with them. And Daniel and Julie, you guys are that way. You have been people that have come into our church, and particularly into my life, to make me a better pastor and a better leader. In fact, Daniel, when I first met you, you're not the only elder that this fits, but I was intimidated by you. I could understand why Lindsay was intimidated by you, but I was too. I just saw you as a hard-charging leader who knew what you wanted, and it challenged my own leadership abilities. And yet, over the course of the 8 years that you've been at the church and six or so years you've been an elder, your passion for God, your energy for God, your service for God has made me a stronger leader, given me more energy, made me want to work harder. And I realize that this verse is a verse that you and Julie have exemplified. You have been an example for us to follow. And as such, I thought it was just appropriate to reflect upon that for just a few minutes today. I found it interesting as I thought about this passage that Paul doesn't set himself up as an example of perfection. In fact, we don't have time, but if you read the whole chapter of Philippians chapter 3, you discover that Paul's perspective is one where he first of all recognizes that all the things that he could set himself up as an example of are not the things that matter most. I found myself thinking about Daniel and Julie and about your leadership and the ways that you have been an example of the church. In fact, really what I want to do in the few minutes we have left is I wanted to highlight a few of the things that I think you have been particular examples of. And then one thing that stands out above all of those. I think they've all been touched on one way or another by what people have already said, but I found myself realizing that you all are examples of a marriage that is worth learning from. You're not perfect people, but one of the things that Debbie said that I found interesting was in all of the interactions I've had with Daniel, Julie, I don't recall his complaining about you. I know Julie tried to get you to complain about him, and I couldn't get him to complain about you. So you guys did pretty well. I know that with all of the challenges and stresses that you face, that there are those times when you get frustrated with each other. But I know that you work together as a team, and your marriage has modeled that. And I realize not only are you examples of a strong marriage, but of a strong home. And I see your children and how they come with you to events, how, as the Palominos mentioned, they're up here playing their violins. Anyone who's been in the Hoster house knows that they don't have a television. And the bigger the house, I think the more you think, it'd be nice to have a television just to keep the kids occupied. But I've been impressed that you all engage your children and you spend time as a family and you share together and your children are better and stronger for that. I found myself thinking you're not only an example of good marriage and a good family, but an example of service. I think I could give all kinds of examples, but I know one that Steve and I would both echo together is, Daniel, you're taking on Project 930. Some of you who were here back when we decided to do Project 930 realized that we wanted to have a program that would really engage the children and a program that would reach out to our community. But in all honesty, neither Steve nor I thought we could pull it off. And consequently, Daniel said, I'll do it. And he planned it out with the help of many of you and put together a great program. And I saw not only that you threw yourself into that, but that it was a service that a great many men wouldn't have involved themselves in. And yet you set a standard that has really been a great example for the men of our church to really invest themselves in the lives of their children. And Julie, your service, you're up here playing the violin and in the midst of all the busyness that you have, you share of yourself with us. And I found myself thinking that you guys are examples of hospitality, which was already mentioned. We as a family have had several very memorable meals with you all in your home. And there are a lot of families that are large enough that people just say, you know, we've got plenty to do in our own home and would never open their doors, but your doors are always open to people. And when folks come through town, I find that people like Shannon, who was here last weekend, they always have a place to stay at your house. You just, you demonstrate hospitality to us, which is what leaders should do. Anyway, all of those things are just some of the examples that come to my mind. Your leadership. I've learned so much about leadership from you, Daniel. Some of our lunches, we'd talk together about leadership strategies, having clearer goals. I am truly a better person and a better pastor because of you. But I have to say that above all of that, there's one thing that occurred to me that is true in this passage, that is true of you all. And that is one of the reasons I wore this tie today. I've never worn this tie before, but I decided I would wear it in your honor. And that is because you all are foreigners. And I chose to wear this to underscore that. And I say that because I don't mean when I say you're foreigners that you're from Germany. I mean, you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you work for Deutsche Bank, you say situation instead of situation. You know, the things that I've always teased you about. But that's not what I think of when I think of you as being foreigners. In fact, this passage really says what I wanted to say. This is what Paul says, just follow along with me. He says, join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. One of the things you two have brought to our church is an awareness that we are all foreigners. We come to this church, and this church is a little bit like an embassy where we all come as representatives of the King of Kings. And we go from this place out into the world to be his representatives. But we come here and we need to realize that we are all foreigners. Not just foreigners as people, perhaps some of us who didn't grow up here, but far more importantly, as people who don't belong here. We are people who have a different destination. And the Apostle Paul in this passage, when he sets himself up as a leader, he says, follow my example, not an example of all of the great things that he did that were like the example that you guys set in your marriage and in your family. Those are all great things. But the biggest example, he says here, is recognize that you're foreigners, that you don't belong here. Instead, you await a time when you will be with the King. And I realize as you guys go to Germany, you're going to be foreigners in Germany. It may be where you were born, but you will be there representing the King of Kings as you've represented him here. And we're a congregation of people who will represent the King in Westchester and New York City and around wherever we go. And you have given us an example of that, just as the Apostle Paul did. And that's the illustration of your lives that I hope we will keep in mind. That we're foreigners. That we belong to a different realm, a different destination. Not just the here and now, but ultimately that we are people who have been bought with a price. The message that Paul says, the message of the Bible, is that we are all are sinners saved by grace. And when you go to Germany and you talk to people and you ask them, what if you were to stand before God and he would ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you tell him? The people in Germany have the same question that the people in Westchester County have. You ask your neighbor, they were to stand before God, and he would ask them, why should I let you into heaven? What would you tell him? The answer is pretty simple. The Bible says that all of us, by virtue of where we stand as sinful people before a holy God, have no rights, no claims on God. But it's something that he did in sending Jesus for us. And if we believe in him, we realize that the cross of Jesus Christ is our ticket to a relationship with God, because Jesus did everything that was necessary. So as you go to Germany, you will go as foreigners representing the King of Kings, taking the cross of Jesus with you. And as you leave us, we too will serve as foreigners. And I think that is the best example you could give us. So it could be that it'll be years before we see you guys again here in Perrytown. Hopefully it won't be, but there are some of us probably who won't see you again here in Westchester County. But the great news is, because we're all citizens, those of us who know Jesus as our Savior are all citizens of the same King, we will be united again. And as such, we'll have a rousing reunion one day as a bigger church, not just the church of First Baptist in Tarrytown, but the church in Germany and the church in Brazil and the church in Korea and the church in China and the church of the ages. People who've wandered through the world and come to realize we're just foreigners serving the King. And that's the greatest example I think you guys could leave for us. Would you bow with me? Lord God, we get so comfortable. We settle into this world as if it really were our home. But Father, you remind us today that we are citizens of a different realm. And we represent you to those around us. Father, I pray for Daniel and Julie, for their children, that as they go to Germany, that they would represent you well. I pray that in all that Daniel does in his job, that he would remember that the most important job he has is to serve as your representative. And I pray for Julie that you'd help her to be the example and the teacher to her children of what matters most in life. And Father, may we be faithful to represent you well this week and in the weeks to come. Lord, I thank you for my friends, fellow laborers for you. Thank you for the work that you've called them to do in Germany. Bless them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand together as we sing?
We bow down and worship them.
Daniel and Julie and Joshua, is still there? I'd like you guys, oh, there. I'd like you guys to head to the back so we can greet you in the refreshment time that follows. And let me close with some prayer. You guys can go ahead. Father God, you are the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. You are the one before whom everyone, every knee, every place, every tongue and tribe will bow. And you are worthy of our worship. And it's because of who you are that we are drawn together as who we are. We find our identity not in our nationality, not in our flags, but in you. And Father, I pray we would represent you well in this foreign land we call Westchester and New York. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity to celebrate and to reflect this day. In Jesus' name, amen. God is good and all the time. Please help yourself. There's refreshments in the back, cake, and greet the Hauser family, please.